off the rails from the U.S. Faster Payments Council.
I'm Reed Lutanen, Executive Director of the U.S. Faster Payments Council, and this is Off the Rails from the U.S. Faster Payments Council, sponsored by Volante Technologies. This time around, we have Mike Vigue from Finastra. Mike and I talk about the current state of play with faster payments, what he's observed from other markets, and look forward to some winter weather. But before that, let's hit those headlines. FPC's fall member meeting concluded yesterday, and it was just a fantastic event. Thank you first off to the amazing FPC staff members who helped put it all together and make it a great experience for our members, Elizabeth Grice, Angela Hendershot, Christine DeLauder, and Erica Reese. We're already set for our next member meeting, which will be at the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin Hotel Resort in Florida, March 26th and 27th. It's going to be a really great event, and I'm looking forward to seeing our members again. We also have deliverables to announce. Just this week, the FPC's Board of Directors approved the first deliverable from our Operational Considerations Workgroup. That'll be available on our website and will begin to help financial institutions get their operational planning for instant payments going. We also have another bulletin from the FPC's Cross-Border Workgroup. Also will be posted to the website in the Knowledge Center at fasterpaymentscouncil.org. And if you have a few minutes, please do head to fasterpaymentscouncil.org and click the link at the top of the banner for the second annual Blockchain and Crypto and Payments Survey, which FPC is conducting in partnership with Ripple. We'd really like to make sure the responses to the survey are strong and reflective of the diverse viewpoints represented throughout the payments ecosystem. Okay, that's enough of the headlines. It's time to talk with Mike Vigue of Finastra. We are joined by Mike Vigue from Finastra. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
All right, let's get right into it. And I think it makes some sense to level set for the audience kind of on where you're coming from and how you're looking at the payment space right now.
Yeah, sure. You mean me personally or the business?
But I'd say like where... from the business perspective, where you guys are coming from. And then, you know, I think from you personally, like, what are you seeing?
Well, I've been in payments now for almost 30 years, and there's never been as much innovation and change going on as fast in this space as there is today. The amount of innovation, particularly around instant payments, for example, is significant. And there's never been this much change in this industry as there is today. Almost every country is looking at some type of new instant payment scheme. The U.S., for example, has two with the introduction of FedNow and then real-time payments a few years ago. And other countries are following suit. I think expectations of today's society, frankly, is around instant, and money is no different than anything else, that whereas people expect to settle transactions immediately. And don't want to wait next day or next week anymore for clearing of their transactions to happen in some of the older payment schemes.
Yeah, right. And you mentioned their experiences from other markets. So what markets do you see as being particularly informative for where things might go here in the U.S. and what learnings should we be taking back and bringing them here?
I think Europe does it first a lot of times. They're definitely a lot more digital and electronic than we are today. You saw that, for example, in COVID. I think some of the third world countries as well have an advantage, whereas they won't have gone through and had all the infrastructure in place that we have, for example, in the U.S. So frankly, for them to be able to leapfrog, if you will, and to embrace a digital era might be easier because they're not moving away from something as paper-based, for example, is the processes that we may have in the U.S. today. But I think Europe, for example, is probably the trendsetter here and the ones to watch out for to see what we might experience in the United States.
Yeah, and for obvious reasons, a lot of the focus is on the speed of payments. I mean, obviously, my organization is called the Faster Payments Council. But what are the other things you see as being valuable or maybe even transformative when it comes to these new rails?
So, well, without with when with the speed of payment comes, for example, less reconciliation issues. So, for example, when things settle immediately, you don't have to reconcile. You don't have to worry about and look for transactions that may not have hit your base, hit your account. So, for example, in the ACH world, no news is good news. So you wait a couple of days to make sure everything clears. Well, when you're dealing with cash, for example, when somebody hands you $10, the transaction's settled. Instant payments are supposed to be the same way. So I think that you'll see there's a trickle-down effect, particularly around things like reconciliation, that create less issues for customers. So I think in the end, you'll see it cheaper. You'll see people have more control over their money. So for example, if you're the one paying and you're paying real time, then you can control exactly when the settlement occurs. In essence, you have a lot more control over your accounts, and the ability to optimize your working capital.
Yeah, for sure. And we've talked before, and we talked a bit about sort of, as you characterize it, a bit of a chicken and egg situation that you're seeing developing, or maybe even stalling developments. So can you talk about that a bit, and how do you think we get past that?
That's definitely one difference between us and some of the other countries. So, for example, a lot of these things are mandated. In the US, they're not mandated. I think you have the chicken and the egg scenario here because it's a nice, right now, the banks do not have to. They're not mandated to supporting instant payments. I think most of them will as a result of this is where the chicken and egg comes into play. When the demand is there from the bank's customers, and the banks will offer instant payments. So how do you generate that demand? Well, I mean, because at the end of the day, if you want to make an instant payment, then you have to have your from beginning to end has to be instant payment enabled. For example, ERPs need to be able to support the need for instant payments as well. Your accounting solutions, ERP slash accounting solutions need to be able to support this. So a lot of the chicken and the egg is making sure that the desire to the chicken is the desire to process instant payments. The egg is the ability to be able to do so. I think what needs to be able to happen there, for example, again, is the pressure to be able to support these things needs to be placed on the banks, needs to be placed on vendors like Finastra, and needs to be placed on the ERP providers as well.
Yeah, because I think, if from my perspective at least, the demand is there when it comes to consumers and when it comes to corporates. Like, if you ask them, hey, do you want to be able to pay and get paid faster? They'd say, well, yeah, right? No brainer. But yeah, to your point, like the sort of theoretical demand versus the actual, like, on, in the real world, like, able to do it demand are two different things. Good. All right. So, as you know, we play a couple games on the show, and one of them is called Buy or Sell. So are you ready to play?
Sure.
All right. So I'm going to throw some propositions out. You let me know whether you agree and buy or disagree and sell, and then tell us why.
Okay.
So first one, speed is the biggest thing that will come from faster payments such as RTP and FedNow. Buy or sell?
Buy. I think that it's definitely speed, but there's so many other benefits that have to do with it. I think it depends who you talk to, right? People who want to get paid want to pay faster. People who are paying want to be able to control when the payment is made. So I think speed is in there inherently, particularly on the people who want to get paid. But the people who are paying aren't necessarily interested in speed. They're more interested in control. So that's a tough to answer. It depends on whose perspective you're talking about.
Sure. I think a lot about the data that can be associated with these transactions too, right? And that can be pretty important to some folks. The time is now to implement faster payments, buy or sell.
Oh, buy, definitely. Yeah, I think that frankly, the banks that are actually embracing it in the US, particularly where it's not mandated, are going to have an advantage over those that don't. I think that now's the time to actually jump on this and start to try to capture some share wallet from your customers, et cetera. And I think those that take advantage of this opportunity are going to have a jump on the others, and get out first.
All right, buy or sell that you're looking forward to winter in New England.
Buy for me. I like to ski. I like the snow, but I don't, when it's 30 below 0 degrees Fahrenheit, for example, you can have that. That makes me want to move down south. But I definitely like snow as long as it's not too cold.
Yeah, well, a late summer hurricane like you guys just had might also make you wish for winter.
That's true.
FedNow will have 300 banks on the network by this time next year. By the way, 300 is about the number that are on RTP right now.
Yeah, sell on that. I think it takes a little bit longer for them to implement that. Look, RTP is has been out for more than just a year. I think FedNow gives a lot of credibility to it. I think it gives a lot of credibility. I think you're going to see FedNow embraced faster than RTP was, because the Fed carries with itself the reputation, that it does, and is more well known. But I think it takes long. I think it takes a little while to get these banks to move, and frankly, I think they're moving at a slower pace than you would think. So I don't see 300. I'd say probably maybe half that.
All
That'd be a
right.
guess.
Yeah. And I think, of course, the Fed also benefits from the fact that RTP has been doing this for 6 years, right?
That is
So
true. That is
that probably
true.
helps them. All right.
But it still takes a while to be able for a bank to be able to offer a new rail.
Oh,
Offering
sure.
a new rail is not a small. It's not a small effort.
Sure. How about this about RTP? They just hit 500 million transactions a month or so ago. So buyers sell that they'll have 1 billion transactions done by this time next year.
I think that's possible. I see that coming. I don't think the FedNow alone is going to get that traffic, but I think, frankly, once you start to see that snowball effect, the snowball gets a lot bigger, a lot faster.
Yeah, I agree. Let's see. For adoption and usage to scale, fraud is going to be a key issue that needs to be addressed.
Oh, that's buy without a doubt. With speed comes the opportunity to get away with fraud, I guess. Faster the transactions, the less time you have to actually make sure that the transaction is valid. That's nice thing about instant payments right now is there's no irrevocability like there is in Fedwire, which is also attractive for fraudsters. But the speed of a transaction is definitely the faster a transaction goes, the less time you have actually to make sure that it's valid. So that becomes an area that fraudsters like to try to take advantage of. So I think that's definitely gonna you're definitely gonna see pressure on there to upgrade fraud and anti-fraud tools as a result of implementing instant payments.
Yeah, I totally agree there too. It's going to be a key thing that we have to figure out sort of as an ecosystem. How are we going to mitigate fraud to the extent we can? And what are we going to do about the fraud that does happen? All right. Well, congrats. So you've won buy or sell. So well done.
Thanks.
You ready to move on to our lightning round?
Sure.
All right. Here we go. Biggest use case you see taking off in the near term for instant payments?
Well, I do think the revenue generation for banks will come from the transformation of business units, not from the transaction itself. So that's probably one of the other things I don't think is hurting adoption, but I do think could help it, which is that the value in instant payments isn't on the instant payments itself, it's in the business application surrounding it. So for example, some of the things they're doing with the ability to request for pay, turn an invoice into a request for pay where you can almost take a picture of it with your phone and convert that into the ability to push a payment in response to a request to pay. So I think that those types of business applications will probably become the most beneficial. So whoever takes advantage of or whoever creates the business case and the business application around that, I think will have an advantage. And I think that those are probably the most compelling places where people will start and adoption will start to occur.
All right. Biggest thing you see coming in 2024.
I think it's going to be the continued look. FedNow just came out in July, right? 2024 is going to be about the adoption of instant payments. And, there are a lot of banks still already offering RTP, but like I said, FedNow is more popular. It's got more. The Fed's got more name recognition around it. I think that you're going to start to see information start to get out and people get educated. I mean, that's the other thing, right? The chicken and the egg comes from not just who's going to use it, who's going to allow usage, and who's going to use it. You have to be educated on what the usage and what the values are. So I think that 2024 is going to become a year of credibility for instant payments, particularly in the US. And the rest of the world, probably in a much different situation. For example, you got NPA coming out in the UK, but they're more used to instant payments than we are. They're just starting in the US. So I think people are going to start to understand what it is and start to see what it can do for them. And so I think 2024, particularly in the United States, is going to be a year of education.
All right. Coolest piece of tech you've got going in your house right now.
I have everything is it's not as cool anymore, but I was one of the first people to have my house voice enabled. I can turn on my television, shut off my television. When I get next to my house, it tells where my cell phone's there, starts to turn the lights on. I just like to tinker and play around. So I've done a lot with voice enablement and locating my cell phone, et cetera, things like that. Like I said, it was really cool a few years ago when I was the only person that had it, but now other people are having have it too, so it's not as cool anymore.
Yeah, just like everything else, that stuff's moving quickly.
Yeah.
Interesting trend you've seen playing out in the fintech space.
Well, okay. This is actually, I don't know why it took a second to come for me, but this is frankly, I think everybody's going to say this. It's AI. Everything's artificial intelligence. I mean, within the last, even 6 months or so, it's just exploded. I mean, it's been around for a long time, machine learning, AI, et cetera. But ChatGPT, I think, has just changed the game, for example. Everybody's talking about it now, thinking about what it can do. And you're starting to look at it, not just as a tool, but also, not also with which products you build with it, but as a tool to help you run your business. So, for example, companies like myself are looking at it from a development perspective. How can it help you write code, for example? Not just what solutions I'm going to offer my customers. How can it allow me to compete faster and more effectively against the competition? There's just the number of use cases for it are compelling. I think the surprise is going to be the increase in productivity that you're going to see the humans in general get to share in as a result of some of the things that we can do with AI.
Yeah, earlier this week at our member meeting, we did a session on AI and it was really well received. I think there's just tons and tons of interest there. Although I will say that one article I read, some domain experts theorized about a 6% chance that it would result in the extinction of the human race. So I'm against that.
Yeah.
Let's make sure that doesn't happen.
My opinion is technology in itself is not good or bad. It's the people element that drive that. And there's going to be bad actors and there's going to be people who want to do good with it, and there's going to be people who want to do bad with it. It's not so I don't know if it's going to technology will not result in the extinction of the human race. People using technology in a poor way may, but let's hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, fingers crossed. All right. Something, you said you like to tinker. So what's something you would like to use faster payments to do in your personal life?
Faster payments to do in my personal life. I kind of already do that with my bills. I mean, I'm you didn't think about it. I've been doing payments for a long time. I've got my personal finances fairly well tuned, but frankly, it would be interesting for me to be able to control, like I said, the payment up to the last minute and really have that ultimate control over my finances and my working capital, in which case I would pay till the last minute like I do on almost everything today. But generally, I have to plan for a day or two for the transaction to be able to settle. It wouldn't really change much for me as an individual, although I can see businesses generating or gaining significant advantage from it. But still, it would allow me to time my payments slightly more effectively.
Yeah, for me, I think about I don't like to I hardly ever have a cash on me. So like all those little like sort of nuisance type payments that you have to make, like when you're tipping people, like being able to do that electronically with the faster payments would be great for me. All right.
How
Final
many
question.
times have you forgot your wallet and how you used Apple Pay since it was available? That's an interesting benefit too.
Yeah, right. Totally. In fact, there are times where like you get there like, oh, I didn't have my wallet all day today.
Yep.
Right?
I mean, not so much instant payment related, but frankly, I like the idea of being able to pay without my wallet, without cash. Your digital wallet, your phone becomes your wallet.
Yep. Gotta get the ID in there. Otherwise, the cops will get you.
That's true.
All right, man. Any final thoughts before we let you go?
No, not really. I think that, like I said, I think instant payments is one to watch. I think, frankly, if you are a small business, for example, I've probably a lot of listeners out there are small businesses. Ask your bank about what they offer. I do think that probably small businesses one of the benefits of one of the segments that could benefit the most, take advantage of it because they're the ones that are most cash strapped and have challenges sometimes achieving credit so or getting credit. So I think that if you're a small business provider, for example, or if you're a treasurer in a big organization, start to ask your banks about what this can do for you. Like I said, I think most of the benefits are a lot of the benefits are there as individuals will benefit from it as well. But for the most part, I think that's where my interest would be if I was a small business owner, for example.
All right, great. Hey, Mike, thanks so much for joining us. Good talk.
Thank you. You too. You have a good one.
And that will do it for this episode. Thank you again to Mike for joining us. Thank you all for listening. And don't forget to do the blockchain and crypto and payments survey to check out the new workgroup deliverables. Find all of that at fasterpaymentscouncil.org. Talk to you all in a couple weeks.